Dream big for what we can do here. Let's not be small thinkers. Let's take what we have, let's use it to our advantage, let's come together as a group, and let's go do it together.
Well, hi again, everybody, and welcome to episode 30 of the All Den Podcast. I am your host, Dan Scott, the voice of the Paladins. And coming up here in just a couple of minutes, we'll be spending some very quality time, as always, with the head coach of your Furman basketball team, Bob Ritchie. At the outset, though, I remind you again of a couple of things. Number one, this podcast is brought to you each and every episode by our friends at Shortfields and Downtown Travelers Rest, great supporters of all of Furman Athletics, fantastic food, even better people. The website, shortfields.com, is where you can find the menu, the operating hours, everything you need to know about that great restaurant. And also, if you have any questions, comments, criticisms, something you'd like for Coach Ritchie to address in a future episode, then you can email them to me at dan.scott@furman.edu, dan.scott@furman.edu. Again, this is the All-Den Podcast, episode 30, and Bob Ritchie is joining us. It's good to see you. It's good to kind of get back on almost a regular schedule again, doing this every couple of weeks or so.
Yeah, hopefully we can keep that up. You know, season, it gets a little bit harder, but, you know, if we've done a better job just scheduling it, making sure that everybody's a little bit more informed. And as we all know, there's not a whole lot of off-season in this business, and so there's a lot of moving parts that are always intriguing, interesting, and worth discussing during the offseason to update our fan base on.
Yeah, and 30 of these. I mean, you think when we started it was back at the beginning of your first season, and that's how this thing has kind of grown. And a lot has changed. Obviously, a lot of wins have come down the pike. And when you win, that's going to bring different elements to your program, some good, some bad. And one of the ultimate things is there are going to be people who are moving on, which we talked about last week with Dwight Perry moving on. What's the latest update on filling that spot? Can you tell us anything?
Yeah, so it's going well. You know, the obviously the desire for people to come work at Furman right now is gone up in the last 2 years, and also our resources to be able to commit to that spot have gone up. So those two things happen simultaneously have put us in a position to get a very, very well-qualified candidate. And, you know, one thing I've learned from you learn so much in this, but the managing of people and building a staff and figuring out what works for me and some of the things that we talked about last time, I've just got so much more clarity in terms of what works at Furman, which I kind of knew that piece of it, but also what works well with my personality. And, you know, finding guys where it's a passion and not a job, finding guys that are about deep care, finding people that are about a high standard and really trying to seek that standard in their personal life, but also in our program. I took it really slow, you know, and I was very deliberate in what we were looking for. And the spot is filled. Unfortunately, today I can't go public with the name just because we still have a few days to process it in HR and all that. But he'll get here Monday, so we'll be able to discuss it in the next episode. I will update everybody on what I think we're getting here. I think it is, as you go through and you evaluate the program from every single angle, we all know what we're losing in Matt Rafferty. And Matt Rafferty was a very unique player, and he had great instincts and he had great skill, and he always did. He was somebody that really he could coach his own position in a lot of ways and did. And so I thought with Noah Gurley and with Jalen Slauson, I think Johnny Lawrence is going to be really good here. I think we got another one in Ben Beaker that's 6'10", 6'11", that's got a lot of upside. I thought it was important that we hired somebody on our staff that could really develop post players and that had proven they could develop post players. And I think we got one that is as good as anybody in our level. And so I'm really, really excited about that. And, you know, in the interview process, we actually have guys, you know, we bring them in and they actually do the job. So they go through recruiting evaluations, and we talk about recruiting names and recruiting territories, but they also get on the floor and work somebody out. And I tell you what, it might have been the best post workout I've seen since I've been in college coaching. It was that good, and it was that thorough. The teaching was high level. The communication, the challenge. I thought the progressions of it were very good. And as soon as he finished the workout, the player that he worked out walked right up to me just to show you the impression that he made. And very politely, the player said, "Coach, if we don't hire this guy, I'm going to be pissed." And that was a direct quote. And I think what he, you know, and he also followed that up with, "That was the hardest workout I've had since I've been here. And but it was also the most teaching I've gotten." Mm-hmm. And so I think when you hear those two things, when you hear the intensity of the workout, but the purpose of the workout and the teaching, that's what we want, right? We want it to be, as we always talk about, we want it to be deliberate. We want there to be improvement, and we want there to be an urgency and immediacy to the action. And so we're very excited about that. He's also recruited at a high level, and you know, he's been a part of a team that's been in the NCAA tournament at this level multiple times, and was just in there this year. Or the team that he was with before was in there this year, and he had recruited a lot of guys at this level that have had a lot of success, and so we're very excited about that, and you know, couldn't be more excited to get him here and get him going.
I'm looking forward to being able to make that reveal. Of course, it'll already be revealed. We'll be able to talk about it more when episode 31 rolls around in a couple of weeks. You're in a, I would say, a unique position, but I would imagine it's a position that a lot of head coaches find themselves in, and that's trying to find people on staff who not only share the same vision that you do, but also share the same work ethic and the same motor that you do. When you get going, you're one of those guys, I like to say, that can make coffee nervous. And there are not a lot of people out there who can match the motor that you have for this job. Have you found that to be difficult in finding replacements when they've come up?
Yeah, I mean, I've just got to know myself. You know, I didn't really evaluate that the first time. I just, as an assistant, you have your head down, you just work. And I think I just assumed that everybody worked the same way, you know. And it's, for me, like, I'm not a person, like, I've never led the staff as an assistant in office hours. But I always have it in the forethought of my mind, right? And it's fun to me. Like, that's one thing I've learned, like, building this and doing things that have not been done here before, and pushing this further and getting it to new heights, that invigorates me. That fires me up. That gets my passion going. And I don't pull up here like I got to go to work today. I mean, I fly in here and I'm ready to roll, and that's just kind of how I am. And I've probably done something at home before. I've come in early that morning, and I probably did something late after my kids went down and my wife went to bed the night before, right? And so I've had to realize that this is a passion for me. This is something where I get to influence people. I get to be around young people, and I get to be around a staff that has a unified purpose. And I think that's where I've got to continue to align and continue to shape that. The culture that we're trying to build has to be embodied first with the staff. Mm-hmm. And the passion in which it's going to take to get there has to be embodied in the staff. Because if we have limiting beliefs, or if we have, you know, anything that's holding that back, right, it's going to keep us from getting to where we want to go. And you know what? Everybody's wired different. And I think that's what I've learned in this, that I don't need people in here that are just like me, think like me, talk like me. Like, I want some different flavor there. But the wiring and the passion and the purpose, I think, have to be, we've got to go 6 for 6 there. And I knew that a little bit more last year when I made those adjustments last year, and all those guys are still here. You know, everybody that we added last year is still here, and I think that's just, it's not the fault of the other person. That's more on me. That's more on me having a little bit more self-awareness of what works. And so, yeah, we're going to get it to a point where we've got six or seven guys pulling in their cars every day, showing up to work and leading with that passion that you can feel, and that motivates people to do more than what they're capable of doing and what they think they can do, and having a shared passion in that journey.
The other thing that's happened, as you and I were talking before we started recording this episode, is that 2 years and a bunch of wins later, the field of candidates for you to talk with has opened up exponentially. You're talking to people now that you would have never dreamed you could talk to a couple of years ago.
Yeah, I mean, the hire we just completed, you know, 0% chance we could have gotten him 2 years ago. And, you know, it's just that's the nature of it, right? I mean, as your product gets better, and as people start to see where this is going. And I think also the stability of the winning. You know, it's one thing to win 1 year, 2 years, to win 90 games in 4 years, which is what we've been able to do here. I think people are seeing that, hey, there's a formula there, you know, and it's a place where each year it's gotten a little bit better. And so the interest that we've gotten, I mean, I've gotten a couple calls from people that just kind of, it just kind of blew me away, you know, almost had to process it. And, you know, but that's the blessing in it, you know, that we've been able to continue to build this brand, continue to build this program, and have people excited about jumping on board. I do believe, I've said this multiple times, you know, we're not necessarily going to win the facilities battle. We're not going to win the admissions battle. We're going to have the highest admission standards in the league unapologetically. We're not going to necessarily win the budget battle and the money battle. So we got to win the people battle. Like that's the battle that for me as a leader of this program, regardless of how hard that is for me to execute, I've got to make sure that we fight for resources to reward our human capital and that our human capital is the best that it can possibly be.
Again, this is episode 31, or 30 rather. I'm jumping ahead of myself to the reveal next week. This is episode 30 of the All Den podcast. I'm Dan Scott with head coach Bob Ritchie. Well, with all the coaching moves, the next logical step is recruiting. Fans are always interested in what's going on the recruiting trail. What's happening right now?
You know, it's very fluid, and I know that as a fan, you know, if I'm sitting there looking at this as a fan, it's like, hey, are we going to sign somebody? And I think that's a very good question. I think that's a well thought question. We've been selective, which I alluded to in multiple episodes here, and also, you know, what you find out is there's a couple generalizations with a lot of young players right now. One, they want to play a little bit more and they want to win from a generalization standpoint. And two, you know, they're all looking for this immediate opportunity. And I think the hardest thing for us is, you know, the most obvious need I think that everybody listening right now can all agree on is another front court guy. There's very few of them. And the ones that are out there, it's very hard. It's only gotten harder to get into school here. Mm-hmm. And so it shrinks our pool to a point where there's a lot of questions that we have to ask ourselves from our position. Do we just add a body or do we add a producer? You know, do we add somebody that we think is going to be a difference maker next year? And the other factor with that is, you know, we lost a kid that we thought we had. And really at the end of the day, the reason when it all, you know, came through, the reason we lost him was just because we didn't have a great opportunity in terms of minutes for him compared to the other location. And you know, you look at, you sit there and do the math. You look at Noah, Jordan, Alex, and Clay. I mean, those guys are going to play about as much as they want to next year, right? So if you just go 30 minutes apiece, being very conservative, anywhere from 30 to 35, you're talking 120 to 140 minutes, however you shake it down.
Right? Out of a total of 200.
Out of a total of 200. So you're looking in a situation where you're only talking, you know, so many minutes that you have to spare. Well, take that. Jalen Slauson's had a big-time spring. He's made huge strides. We get his new position coach in here. He's only going to make further strides. He's going to have a big-time summer. Now, all of a sudden, you got 15, 20 minutes in him. Mike Bothwell, he's elevating more on his jump shot. He's getting it off quicker. He had a big-time semifinal game versus Greensboro. Mm-hmm. He's had a really good spring. He's going to be in the mix. Trey Clark has been here for 3 years. He had pivotal moments this year in big-time games for us. Coach Williams has done a phenomenal job with his development. He's going to be in the equation. That had even discussed Jalen Pugh, who really didn't play this much, that's been very motivated this offseason, and really could arguably be our best, if not one of our best shooters, right? So that's four guys right there where you're talking 60 to 80 minutes, depending on how you shake it out. And then you haven't even talked about the freshmen. I mean, we've got Colin Kenny coming in here that, you know, was 10th in the state of Indiana in scoring, right? Who's motivated. I talked to him last night. He's just, you know, heading to the gym. You got Johnny Lawrence that can shoot it at 6'9". You got Marcus Foster that we knew it when we signed him, watching his later film in high school, just continue to make strides late in the year. He's going to come in here hungry. He's a big-time long wing. There's just not a lot of minutes next year. Now, there's going to be minutes down the road, but what's happening is we don't have a lot of minutes next year because we got four returning starters. And then we only have one senior, so when we're sitting there trying to convince them how much they're going to play the next year, they're sitting there looking at us like, well, you're going to theoretically have four more starters the next year, so coach, where am I going to play? And so it's the nature of recruiting. I don't think we're in a position to panic. I really don't. We've got a recruit coming in next week that we're considering and really excited about. But he's got options, you know. So we've got to, you know, we're not going to add to. I don't see any case where we would add to. I want to, you know, especially adding the staff member we just did. Our recruiting is going to continue to go up. I'm looking at it like, hey, right now my focus is more so, let's not take a person that wouldn't have a huge impact on our program at the sacrifice of the 2020 class. Mm-hmm. And it goes back to the long-term greedy, right? Like we're gonna have a great sell in 2020. We're gonna have a lot of wins to sell. We're gonna have a lot of things that are moving in the right direction. My attention is how good of class can that be, right? If we're functioning at a more efficient level, let's not do anything in the short term that really we could have greater dividends in the long term by making some smart decisions. But we won't turn down a really good player that fits our culture, that's about the things we're about.
Going to deviate off the beaten path a little bit. I have been the last couple of episodes asking fans if they have questions for you to submit them to me. And Steve McAllister sent this question. And occasionally I like to drop stuff on you we haven't talked about to get you tap dancing a little bit. But it's a really easy question. Steve wants to know if there's been any discussion or will there be any consideration to try and bring a big-time team in for a game at Bon Secours Wellness Arena downtown.
That's a great question. I actually tried twice this week, and I struck out on both, you know. And so it's, you know, the schedule is a challenge. And, look, I'm with everybody, right? Like, I had a blast. Besides the outcome, the Wichita State game was so much fun just to be a part of, and mm-hmm. just the atmosphere and the magnitude of the game and how good the opponent was and how well coached they were. We're not trying to dodge anybody. You know, that's the last thing we're trying to do. And but we're getting told no a lot. And there's a few factors. One, the returners that we have. I think two, you know, we have a little bit unique style offensively that's not very common in terms of it's not the conventional deal. It's not the ball screen continuity and the ISOs and the dribble drive. And so when people prepare for us, you know, it's a little bit different of a prep. And so, you know, I mean, I don't know if I said this last time. I mean, we were trying to get in this MTE. And it was almost done, and then a Big East school just flipped out at the last minute, said, no, we're not playing them, you know, refused to play them. And we're hitting that in a lot of different directions right now. But we'll get through it. We'll get a schedule together, you know, and I think the fans got to understand we want as many home games as we can get, mm-hmm. you know, but now we're having to, you know, people are having to buy those home games, and we're not quite in the financial position to be able to do that. But you know, it comes down to league play. We all know that. It comes down to Asheville. And, you know, we've got to make sure we're prepared for that. So we'll get us a good schedule together. If we can play somebody downtown, that's an opponent we all like, I think that helps our connection with downtown. I think that helps our brand. I think it would be really, really fun. But we got to get somebody to agree to it.
Let's move on. You had your team banquet this week. Obviously, you do that at the end of every school year, and I know that's something that you really look forward to.
Yeah, first one actually for us. This is a new tradition that we've started, and we actually put it together pretty quickly. Okay. We've always – everybody's always done the FUSPEs, which the student body does here, and we all had that Tuesday night. And, you know, that's a hard deal for them to be able to reward everybody for the whole department. And I just, you know, I didn't feel like – for whatever reason, I thought with everything this team had done, I thought they needed a little bit more appreciation. And so, you know, Matt Rafferty and what he's done, I thought that we needed to have one last meal where he knew that we appreciated every single thing he had done for this institution. And, you know, so once we kind of put that together, fortunately, a couple boosters, Raymond Newsom and Charlie Mosley helped us, and Paul Foster as well, to do it right. And we put it together kind of last minute. But we went to Halls downtown. The guys suited up, put their suits on. They looked great. And our staff, you know, Daniel Fowler and John D'Angelo did a phenomenal job just putting the script together. And we had a great video for them. The seniors had senior statements. I addressed the team, you know, one more time, which was pretty neat. And, you know, it was in the same room that I had dinner with my family the night I got the job after my press conference. And that wasn't by choice. I had no idea. We just got there, and they took us upstairs. And, you know, I told the team afterwards, I said, you know, it's the irony of it. You know, I sat in this room when I got the job, and where's this program going, and you know, how can it go further? And we sit in here tonight, and the whole question is going to be, you know, they've got to replace Matt Rafferty, you know, and I think that, again, part of that script is, yes, we do have to replace Matt and Andrew, but we're going to continue to excel because of Matt and Andrew.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's what people are missing. Like, you know, man, they're losing Matt and Andrew. That mark is left here forever. I mean, the example that those guys set, this program is going to grow and build because of Matt and Andrew. And just listen to those seniors, to listen to Jalen, to listen to Brady when they made those statements, and to hear about their experiences and what they've learned and how they've grown, watching those young guys absorb all that. I think it's a tradition that will continue. You know, it wasn't a cheap night, but it was worth it. And, you know, they had it at the table when we all sat down. They had all the first time items this team had done, and just to sit there and read through them, it was pretty incredible. You know, it was pretty incredible. And I've got to do more of that, to take a pause and appreciate the moments. But just, you know, they had the end of the Loyola game playing and the Villanova game playing, and everybody standing up watching the end of it, you know, kind of reliving those moments. And just to hear all the challenges and all of what we're about as a program, to spend 2 hours doing that, it was a memorable night, and it was something that we'll definitely continue doing.
Something else that's memorable for every head coach, you just, again, talking about your seniors as we are recording this in the football radio booth, which doubles as my office and studio, overlooking Paladin Stadium, and out here they're setting up for graduation ceremonies this weekend. This is your second one of these as a head coach. What does that mean to you?
Well, you know, I'm proud of the fact that we're going to go 8-for-8, you know, and doing it. You know, we'll have all four seniors graduate here, you know, this weekend. We started tradition last year. We had all the families over to my house on Friday night, and you know, just one last intimate dinner with the seniors. And so we're doing that this Friday night, which I'm really looking forward to. And then we'll come out here, you know, with graduation on Saturday, and you know, just to see the mark they've left. The 90 wins is one thing, but just how they've done it and how they've carried themselves, how they've taken care of their schoolwork, how they've represented themselves on campus in the community. It's just a completion of this chapter. And, you know, it makes me proud. It makes me proud that all of them have come in here and done more than what anybody expected. And, you know, to be able to celebrate that this weekend is going to be great. And, you know, Matt signed with an agent. And so Matt's going to, he's going to get that shoulder healthy, and it's going to go through June in terms of his rehab. He'll be here all summer, and we're going to make sure we take care of him. And then he'll get to work in July, you know, get back to basketball, be able to play with our guys. And I tell him all the time, we're going to try to keep you here as long as we can, you know. And so we'll still have him around, and then he'll go, you know, to wherever he signs with in the fall. Andrew Brown already has a job lined up in financial management and financial planning. So he's got to go off to training for a few months, and then he'll be back to Greenville. And then Jalen is going to do a grad transfer year at Cleveland State. And so very happy for him to be able to continue to play that last year. And then Brady's awesome. He's the freelancer. He's always smiling, and he's always into adventures. So he and his friend are going to jump in a car next week, and they're going to drive to San Diego, and they're going to figure out life in San Diego for a little while. So he's going to go out there, out west, and, you know, see if he can establish himself out there, and, you know, see how long he can take it on the West Coast. But he's always had a desire to be out on the West Coast. Mm-hmm. So he's going to move out there and start his next chapter there.
Yeah, it's interesting. We know what a fan favorite he is and has been at Timmons Arena the last couple of years. This weekend, he walked into a baseball game at Latham Stadium, and I happened to comment, "There's fan favorite Brady Shuck," and sure enough, as he goes to sit down, you know, a bunch of people, "Hey, Brady," you know, he was. So it's, you know, everybody, like a smaller version of being in Timmons.
Everybody loves Brady. Everybody loves Brady. He's I guess he's the only guy on the team with his own Instagram, you know, following account. You know, so I told him he needs to just go ahead and do kind of a reality documentary of this West Coast adventure. But man, he's been awesome. He's been great to be here, and so thankful we were able to reward him with that scholarship this year. And you know, everybody plays a role, and when you have the success that we had this year, and he certainly did.
You know, if he wanted to do a reality show, you know, he's got the connection to do that.
He's got the connection. He's definitely got the connection. So Richard could figure that one out pretty quick.
Hey, speaking of schoolwork, you referenced that in all of that talking about graduation. How about your program being one of only 35 college basketball programs at the D1 level recognized for their APR.
Yeah, I mean, one of 35, the only one in the Southern Conference. And, I think, again, it just shows that we're trying to grow people, and through that we're going to win games. But the core of it still is through the development of the person. And when you invest in people the way that we want to, it takes a lot of time. It takes a lot of energy. It takes a lot of passion. But the reward of it is large. And I think what that's shown is that we're winning, but that we're not sacrificing character or really the culture in terms of how we want to do it. You know, that we want to get a group that, understands that you got to work while you wait, and you got to bloom where you're planted, and we want to make sure that we build them up right, and that we're constantly focused on that investment into the person. And so when that flashed up last week, again, that just that was more confirmation that we're doing it the right way.
Episode 30 of the All Den podcast coming down the home stretch here. One final thing to get to. Preparation is underway, and it's hard to believe that it's been 4 years since the team went to Costa Rica. You can take one of these international trips every 4 years as a program. The Bahamas are coming up August 2nd through 7th.
Yeah, we're going to the Bahamas. It's going to be a lot of fun. Changes up our summer schedule a little bit, which is good. I like it. And guys will go home this week. They'll come back. They'll do a May term here. We'll stick with individual improvement. We won't get into much team concept in terms of the month of May. 3 weeks to continue to get their bodies better, get their skills better. And then June 10th, we'll have all the guys here, including the freshmen, and they'll do summer one. So usually they'll do summer one, summer two. They'll have May off. This year they're going to do May and summer one. They'll have summer two off. And so when they get done with summer one, July 7th or 8th, somewhere in that range, they'll actually go home for a little bit, not too long, but they'll go home for a little bit, and they'll come back in the middle of July, and we'll get 10 practices, full practices, that the NCAA gives you to prepare for that trip, and then we'll fly out on August 2nd to the Bahamas. We'll play two games down there, possibly three versus international competition, and then be able to just, continue to get our team closer. Mm-hmm. And give those guys some time away, and just a little bit of celebration, a little bit of connection, and also just forming this team a little bit earlier, right? And having that experience, I think, is going to be great. Having those practices is going to be a lot of fun. We're going to have to change up a little bit, stylistically in terms of how we play. The overall is going to still be the same, in terms of our identity, but just what we feature, how we feature it, and how we play. We're going to have a lot more time this summer to be able to tinker with that. So I'm looking forward to that. And, there's going to be some people going with us. If you're listening, former players, people that are associated with the program, we're going to be staying at the Atlantis there. I think the games are pretty much on site. So if you do have interest, we're leaving August 2nd, and email John D'Angelo, and he'll get you the details. But we'd love to have anybody down there with us that desires to come. I know we're going to have some parents and people like that down there with us and enjoying a little August vacation.
I'm sure the coaches' wives were just brokenhearted when the idea of the Bahamas came up, right?
Brokenhearted. So they're everybody's looking forward to it, and especially coming off of July recruiting and things like that, we'll all be due for a good trip together.
Well, Bob, we got a ton of stuff in this episode. As always, it's fantastic. Looking forward to the next one.
Absolutely. Thank you.
And with that comes the end of another edition of the All Den podcast. This has been episode 30. Our thanks to head coach Bob Ritchie for being so open and giving us such great information on each and every one of these episodes. Just a reminder again that the podcast is brought to you by Shortfields and Downtown Travelers Rest. www.shortfields.com is the website for the menu, the hours, anything you need to know about that great, great supporter of Furman Athletics. And again, if you have any questions or comments you'd like for us to get to Coach Ritchie, suggestions, dan.scott@furman.edu, dan.scott@furman.edu. That's going to take care of episode 30 of the All Den podcast. We'll be back in a couple of weeks with the next edition. Until then, for Coach Bob Ritchie and all of us at Furman Basketball, I'm Dan Scott, again saying God bless you. So long, everybody, and thank you for being All Den.